Oh, merde, it's a goûter in France. That's French for tea party for our non-bilingual friends. And I'm not bilingual. I had to look that up, but I'm sure I mangled it absolutely horribly. But you've been watching, I'm sure, the yellow vest protests going on in France for, what, a week, week and a half now. And there is, believe it or not, a tea party element hidden behind the youth, as they say, violence in the streets of Paris. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gents, I was unaware of this, mostly because our media sucks, until I came across a Claire Berlinski piece that Glenn Reynolds posted on Instapundit on Tuesday morning. And Claire Berlinski, I adore her. I've been reading it for about ever. And she actually went out into the streets of Paris to meet with the protesters. And what she found there might shock you because, you've got the usual conglomeration of French protesters, the anarchists, the socialists, the communists, the Muslims who are rioting and setting fire and all the rest. But there are others there. And Claire writes, "It was obvious from a single glance that these weren't Parisians, but rural people who couldn't afford to buy expensive Parisian clothes or get chic haircuts. I instantly understood why Macron rubs them the wrong way. They looked worn out. Their hands and faces were lined. They were mainly in late middle age. They seemed to be decent, respectable, weary people who had worked hard all their lives, paid their taxes, and played by the rules." Scott, could this be, I mean, this could be filed from a Tea Party event in 2009, but it's happening in Paris. Does this give you a little hope?
You know, it does, except I don't have enough specificity on that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm probably like most Americans. I dearly love the French so much that I pay no attention whatsoever to what's going on in their lives. Although inadvertently, from time to time, I'm listening to NPR. And I'll hear a story from France, and it's, usually with somebody who sounds like Christiane Amanpour. And my understanding was that the left is upset with Macron because he's not a leftist, and a lot of people are upset with Macron because he's trying to cut the budget and balance things, and that he has taken away some of their government benefits. So I guess I'm trying to figure out why, what brings the farmer in from the country to strap on a yellow vest and start to paint slogans on the side of the Arc de Triomphe.
Well, I'm glad you asked, X. It brings me, believe it or not, and we did not rehearse this, folks. It brings me to the next part that Claire wrote. I was going to save this for Bill, but since you brought it up, I'll go ahead and read this now. She writes, "I concluded they were just what they were advertised to be, family men and women who couldn't make ends meet and who were tired of Macron's attitude. Why this protest? Why now?" I asked. "The fuel tax was just the straw that broke the camel's back," they said. "It made the difference between able to make ends meet barely and not able to make ends meet. It had just been getting steadily worse every year since the economic crisis began." That's 10 years ago now. "And they had run out of hope." So there's your answer, Scott.
Well, and I think this is, at some place the camel's back has to break. And, you can only continue to pile so much burden on people. And if you want a democratic socialist republic, so to speak, there's a great burden that comes with that. And yep. When previous administrations jacked up taxes, some of the wealthiest people left France or at least changed their official residency so that they wouldn't have to pay French taxes. And a fuel tax is one of the most egalitarian ways to raise taxes, especially if it results in increase in the cost of tokens for the metro or for the bus or for the train. But farmers clearly would be hardest hit. I used to work on a farm. You use a lot more gasoline on a farm, or at least petroleum products on a farm, than you do in the average household. So it makes sense that they would be hardest hit. And I guess, kind of pick your poison. If you want to ever get back onto an even keel in a budgetary way with a social democracy, it's going to hurt somebody somewhere. And I guess protest and violence is about the only way these people have, since they lack political power, to lash out.
Except we've got a kind of a split between the protesters, Scott. There were these older, more rural people that Claire spotted and spoke with, and apparently this is a huge contingent of the protesters. The smaller contingent are much younger, much more prone to violence and breaking thing and smash the state and all the rest. And out of the almost 400 arrests that were made in Paris over the weekend, almost all of them were the younger folks, the minority of the protesters, not these older folks that Claire was writing about.
Yeah, and I just to wrap this up from my part of it, I think that as we discussed in our backstage show, a lot of times legitimate protests for the redress of grievances get poisoned by the kind of protest groupies that show up anytime there's a protest and decide to make it about them and to cause chaos, and it gives a bad name to everybody who's trying to, if they have a legitimate grievance, who's trying to put that forward. You know, you don't want to see anybody's country fall into a chaotic situation like this. And frankly, there's a lot of commerce that goes on between the United States and France. It's one of those situations where you wish you could jump in and rescue them from themselves, but you cannot. And you just, you know, hope that they don't descend into, you know, Italy, where they elect a new government every 7 months.
That long? Have they spread it out to months now? I remember back in the 80s when I was, you know, the Cold War kid, always keeping up on this stuff with our NATO allies, that it had been something like 40 years since the end of the Second World War. And in that time, Italy had had, I think it was 53 governments. Just remarkable. You don't want to see that happen to a major country. Bill, you want to talk about tone deaf? Macron's heavy-handed tone deafness is what instigated these older rural people to swarm on Paris to protest. And his solution, if you can believe this, he announced this Monday night in this kind of lame 13-minute speech, was to cut taxes on seniors, or maybe it was increased benefits, I can't remember which, and to increase the minimum wage out of public coffers, not on the backs of business, but increase the minimum wage out of public coffers for poor people, for poor working class people. And so the middle class, these very people who showed up in Paris, are going to feel the squeeze even more because they're the ones who are going to have to pay for this stuff. Is this just business as usual in France, or do you think some real change is going to come maybe finally?
Well, I think these changes are the result of just decades of basically well-mannered people just kind of going along with things. The same situation here in America until finally, you know, somebody just strikes a match, makes an offhand comment, and the next thing you know, you've got a popular movement. Now, France is a lot smaller than the United States is, obviously, so I suppose we can refer to these people as those people out there in flyover county. But nevertheless, they have the same grievances as all regular working people do when their elites get a hold of power and basically try to return them to the feudal system that they're most comfortable with subjects and rulers as opposed to citizens and representatives. So this is the ongoing struggle of the early 21st century, and we're seeing it everywhere. You know, as Scott mentioned, you know, it'd be nice if we could go over them and save them from themselves. I'm not sure we can save us from ourselves.
Right.
But nevertheless, it'd be worth a try. I know for a fact that I would really enjoy going to one of these meetings of these people. And just not talk, I don't know anything about political organizing, that's the whole idea. But I think it'd be very interesting to just basically say to these people, look, our theory is that these people are not our masters, they're our servants. And they continue to act as if they're not. And the only thing that gets their attention is a sharp rap on the nose. But you earned this money, it's your money. It's not their money, it's not the state's money. It's your money. You're the person who put your life effort into this. They're not doing you a favor by giving you a few cents back on the dollar that they took from you in the first place. You're just going to have to work harder to make up the extra 3 cents tax they're going to put on that in order to pay you your measly little benefit. They need to understand the actual relationship between the people and the government, and there's plenty of nonviolent ways to do that. And I'd love to go over and give that speech, but every time I think about doing it, I'm reminded about Mark Twain's comment where he says he and some friends were in Paris for 3 weeks speaking French to the French people, and he could never get those idiots to understand their own language. And this is what I'm actually a little concerned about. But I think a little American revolution, a little bit of Gadsden flag stuff would go a long way over there. Hmm. And I would love to go to simply explain to people in France, look, our revolutions diverged. They diverged because we put three different items on our to-do list. You put liberty, equality, fraternity. We put life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we got the liberty thing in common. The problem with the fraternity is not all people are brothers, and you can't make them be brothers unless you decide to kill half of them. And then the problem with equality is you can't have liberty and equality at the same time. They are mutually exclusive qualities. We're all about life, pretty simple, liberty, yep, and the pursuit of happiness, which means leave us the hell alone. And I think that conversation would be a fruitful one, and I suspect that that is exactly what these patriots really feel the need for. I think they need someone to explain to them why what they're doing is not only important and necessary and immediate, but also exceedingly moral and exceedingly patriotic and exceedingly human. And that all that they're seeing now is, Louis the 16th spread out over three dozen different individuals and taking, two or three or four decades to roll into positions of power instead of 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to end up being some sort of revolution, if France is going to get their Trump or what's going to happen. But I think the potential is there, gents. Last summer, my wife and I were lucky enough to spend a couple of weeks in a small town in the south of France, just about 15, 20 minutes north of Nice, called, again, pardon my pronunciation, Bonsartou. And just except for the language, this could have passed for any small town in America. Just friendly, warm, hardworking people. They helped me along with my terrible French every time I tried to order food or do anything else. And just genuinely good, decent, hardworking people. And I did notice one major difference, though, other than the language. And that was how nice all the public stuff was. The trains were great. The train stations were beautiful. Everything was lovingly maintained. But how little the people actually have. They get to keep so few of the fruits of their labors that when I read Claire Berlinski's piece this morning and saw it was people like the ones that I lived amongst for a couple of weeks were the ones showing up wearing the yellow vests, making these protests, not the rioters, but the actual protests, I understood right then that these were the people that I'd known and grown to really like when I was there. And if they can make a difference, if they can make some real change in their country, well, God bless them. It's about time. It's past time. So good luck. And please. That's it. That's it. I've run out of words. I feel so much warmth in my heart for these folks that all I can do is wish them the best of luck and give them a salute, and that's it. So let's wrap this up. That's your Right Angle on the Yellow Vest protests. I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is brought to you by the paying members of BillWhittle.com. If you like what you see, please click on over. We'd love to have you on board. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.